Colossians, the first chapter. Tonight I want to deal with verses 24 through 29. And I want to deal with a theme here, which is on the board and is found, the main theme is verse 27, but it's found throughout all these scriptures. Beginning in verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, of which I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. For this I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Just to get to the point real quick, you know, the hope of glory is Jesus. The hope of glory is not me, or the hope of glory is not you. The hope of glory is not wrapped up in my salvation. The hope of glory is not wrapped up in me being changed or me being improved or... if you wrote down what most people call the gospel, if you wrote down all the things that they think that the gospel is and what they preach to most people, it would not be what this scripture here calls the hope of glory. It is Christ that the Father is after, and it has nothing really to do with our improvement, though there is it definitely involved, and yet it has nothing to do with our betterment or the Lord doing something to me or you. In fact, the Lord doesn't want you or me. The Lord's not after you or I. There's nothing that you or I can do that'll please him or make him accept us, or something we can do that'll be acceptable in his sight. No amount of service, no amount of involvement, no amount of church going, no amount of prayer can change the Father's attitude on this subject. There's not anything, because he started with a plan. He started with a single mind. He started with a hope. He started with a goal. He started singularly with one basic thought, one basic goal, and his hope is all wrapped up in Jesus. And it's not wrapped up in you and I. Do we really understand that, though? I mean, do we get offended at that when we hear that? Do we really understand that Christ is the hope of glory? Have we ever really considered the thoughts that we talk about continually, that he's not really concerned with my transforming or my changing, because it's not the process that he's after, but the finished work? It's just like you could say, as a matter of fact, that a farmer is not really that wrapped up in preparing the ground, though he has to do that, for the harvest, the thing that he's after, and if he didn't get it in the end, the thing that he's after is fruit. And all the preparing in the world wouldn't please the farmer if there was no fruit. Now, we can understand that. We can understand that easily. We'd say he's a fool to sit there and go, "Oh, I sure am pleased with this ground that's been dug up." And yet, when somebody says, "The Father is not pleased with you and me, he's not concerned or wrapped up in what we're wrapped up in, he doesn't want you and I," we get all upset. Don't we? And something inside of us says, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute." It's because we don't understand that that is the very truth. That is the very truth. And from the very beginning till the very end, when we all go to glory, as it will, the hope of all that is Christ. Do we really understand that? And how do we understand that? Well, I'm not going to get in trying to explain the understanding of it, but we get all upset when somebody says he's not, you know, we get all, but before we get all upset, we've got to realize that it doesn't just say, and likewise so throughout the scriptures, it doesn't just say Christ, the hope of glory, but it does say Christ in you. The one that he is pleased with is not you or me. He's, verse 27, with the mystery that's been hid from generations and ages and people and times, and the thing that Paul says that he preaches, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's pleased with Christ. And the place that he desires that to be is in you. You see, he didn't just say, "I'm pleased with..." If that had been the case, he'd have just left Jesus on the throne. Jesus wouldn't have needed to come down. But he desires Christ in you. Now, what most believers do is they ignore the Christ that is within, and they set out to please the Father on the basis of the things that they do, or on the basis of involvement, on the basis of prayer, on the basis of service, on the basis of church going, on the basis of all these things that we get involved with and all these things that we get hung up in. We are seeking to please the Father. Most of the time, we're not seeking the Lord when we come to church. We know that if we're not in church, the Father isn't pleased. We're not really here going, "I want to know Jesus. I want to know Christ that's in me." We're here at some sort of form of righteousness to us because we pray and we come to church and. But our whole being, because our whole being is supposed to be Christ, Christ in you. What a statement. What a statement. Christ in you. So let's not talk about ministry. Let's not talk about involvement. Let's not talk about prayer. Let's not talk about faithfulness. Let's not talk about commitment. Let's talk about Christ in you, because Christ in you will do all those things, won't he? Won't he be faithful? Will Jesus be faithful? Amen. So, just for a moment, let's not talk about faithfulness. Let's talk about Christ in you. Let's not talk about a greater commitment, because Christ is committed. He is fully committed to the Father's plan, so much so that it took him to the cross. Shall we preach commitment? It's not necessary to those in whom Christ dwells. Service, involvement, prayer. I can see Jesus on the hillside standing there saying, well, I wonder if I should pray today. Did I get in my prayer time today? Maybe I better set aside the morning hours right after I get out of bed for prayer because the day is so... No, Jesus just communed with his Father continually. Let's not talk about prayer. Let's talk about Christ in you. Christ in you. You see, so many people spend their time preaching. I've seen preachers come up and they just preach against sins and preach against this and preach against that. Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. It was a whom. It wasn't just a message. It was a whom. It was a person. Paul, anyway, was caught up with the fact that glory be to God, it is Christ in you. And I am going to preach this whom. I'm going to warn every man. I'm going to teach every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ. This is what I'm laboring. This is why I'm striving. Stand up there and preach against things when Christ in you will fulfill everything that the Father desires. The Father is pleased with Christ. Now you say that you're saying so many simple statements. My goodness, this is so on my heart and mind. We get off in all these things and we think we're growing in great knowledge because we hear great sermons or search out things on commitment or ministry or service or faithfulness or all these. Well, I'm faithful, so I'm really spiritual, or I'm this or that, you know. But Jesus, the same Jesus that is in you that's faithful in things, is the same Jesus in you that should be serving. That is the same Jesus that should be praying. What it is we ourselves are prolific in, say, prayer, but we're not too hot in faithfulness, you see. You understand what I'm saying? It's us in prayer mightily, and it's us weak in faithfulness. But if it was Christ in you, He is all these things equally and without respect of service or faithfulness or anything. He's not caught up in one area. He didn't say, well, I better put off praying for a year because I got to get into the ministry. Or, you know, I got to be faithful over here to this. So, you know, or he didn't say, well, my ministry is prayer. You know, he just lived before the Father. He just always pleased the Father. He just walked around and it didn't dawn on him, well, maybe I better pray. He just knew, Father, listen, here's the way it's going. He knew his Father. He just communed with him. Didn't he? Doesn't he? Shall I say? That same Jesus, if we were born again, here we are, spirit, soul, and body, that the new birth, every believer had Christ placed in him. Christ in you. And in me. Christ is in there. He's in there. He wants to do everything that pleases the Father. He not only wants to, He does. That's why I sometimes scratch my head, because I know Jesus does always those things that please the Father. And then I have to kind of wonder sometimes, when somebody says, oh, it's this Christ in me. And yet, I don't even get involved in judging or anything. I just wonder, why was He so mighty when He walked the earth? And why is He the Son of God seated at the right hand of the Father? But why isn't He the Son of God in here? Christ is in there. Christ is in there. New birth made it so. It is definitely, and I'll not argue with you, it is Christ in there. But an understanding that Christ is in you and Christ being revealed in you is two different things. I said an understanding that Christ is in you and Christ being revealed in you is two different things altogether. Look at Galatians, the first chapter. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. God is not just pleased with the Christ that's in you, notice, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. God's not just trying to put His Son in you. His Son's already in you if you're born again. Christ is in you. He's not just trying to put His Son in you. He's trying to reveal the Son in you. Paul says that's what pleased the Father. He wasn't just pleased with placing His Son in me at new birth, but the Father is pleased. It pleased the Father to reveal the Son in me. To reveal. The Son can be in you and still not be revealed in you. I said the Son can be born again in you. He can be in you indeed and still not be revealed in you. Let's just say thousands of believers can testify truly, Christ in me, the hope of glory. But He's never been revealed in them. It pleased, well, I want the Father to be pleased. It pleased the Father to reveal His Son in me. And they'll stand up and say, He's in me, and everybody will have to say amen because it's true, because it's true, because it's true. And if somebody says, well, they start questioning you about Christ in you, it's real easy to get all defensive and say, wait a minute, I know what God's done in my life, and you can't tell me, and you can't stand up here and condemn me, or you can't throw stuff at me like that, because lesson here, Christ is in me. He's in there. The Spirit of God testifies to my spirit. It's Christ in me. I won't argue with you one bit. Amen. It's Christ in there. But is He revealed in you? Have you seen Him by revelation? Has the Lord been unveiled in you? You see, with this mind, if it is yet carnal, if it has not been renewed by the revelation of Jesus Christ, it can kind of look over here into the, you know, it can look over there and say, it's Christ in me. You see? It can say, I understand that Christ is in me. That's the gospel. That's the hope of glory. I believe that. I'm all for it. I, that's the truth. But it cannot in any way, by looking here, know the Son of God. It can only say that the Son of God indeed is in me. You can't look within to see the Son of God. You can't look within. You can't turn your eyes within. You can't. Now, when you get saved, most of us, I hope, when we were born again, Jesus was placed in us, and indeed a new spirit, Christ, the spirit, the new man came in, and with Him came new desires. And we said, well, let me throw these cigarettes away, and so we did that. And we said, well, let me quit drinking, so we did that. And we said, well, let me quit cussing, so we did that. And then we started looking, and we said, look, we looked within and said, look, I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't cuss anymore. It's Christ in me. We haven't seen the Lord. We've seen a few outward changes. My brother, when I got saved, born again, I quit smoking, I quit drinking, and I quit cussing. My brother also, who was not born again, for some odd reason decided he was going to quit smoking and drinking and cussing. He did the same thing. I came up to him and said, "Listen, brother, look, I threw my cigarettes away." He said, "So did I." I said, "What?" I said, "Well, I did, you know, I started telling," he said, "Well, I did too." I said, "Are you born again?" He said, "No." "What?" He said, "No, what are you talking about, born again? I just decided to quit." I said, "Well, mine's Jesus, you know, or I don't know. I looked at my actions, were just like his, and I said they were Jesus. And I think they were motivated by the Lord. I think the desire was there." But that's not seeing Jesus in you. That's not, that's understanding that Jesus is indeed in you. That's not seeing the Lord. Only through the Word of God can you see the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I believe it's 17. Well, we probably ought to start up at verse 13. "And not as Moses, who put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament." Now, when this book was written, there was nothing but an Old Testament. You do understand that. He was writing the New Testament, what we call the New Testament. He was also searching the Old Testament scriptures and seeing Jesus. You understand that? He wasn't searching the New Testament. He was writing it. He was reading the Old Testament and saying there's a letter and a spirit in the previous verses. He was saying that you can read that Old Testament and there can be a veil, or the veil can be taken away and you can see Jesus. Okay? "But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled," or let's see what it says, "open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." You see, with our natural mind, we can look at ourselves, and we can begin to examine what we do, and we can compare ourselves among ourselves, which Paul says, if you do that, you're not wise. And we can look at our actions and we can say, well, mine are better than brother or sister so-and-so's, and therefore it must be more Jesus in me, and I show up for more services, and therefore I'm more faithful, and I'm able to make this class and that class, and therefore you're not very faithful, and Jesus is faithful, and therefore it must be Jesus in me. And a whole bunch, too, because I'm really spiritual. Do you see, are you seeing the process that our minds go through to conclude that it is Christ in me and that I am indeed very, very spiritual? We compare ourselves among ourselves, and once again Paul says, you're not wise. We you know, you can go out and minister to some Baptist and say, boy, those Baptists are really in bad shape, and really feel good. But let me tell you, walk up there in front of the Lord and compare yourself to Him. The light just blinds you and you just want to melt away because you see the Lord. There is no comparison then, because you see that you are darkness and He is light. Better than that, He is Christ. And we are blind. But it's very easy to look at our own self, and never, when it says Christ in you, never does it mean to look within. When it says examine yourself, never does it mean to look within. Never does it mean to compare yourselves among yourselves. You compare yourself with just about anybody and you'll come out smelling like a rose every time. If not, you'll be pretty close. You know, well, I'm pretty close. I'm just right behind him or her. They got a lot more years on me. We judge according to the flesh. We think in the natural. We judge. We haven't seen the Lord, because when I say we'll walk up there and see Jesus, could we walk up in His presence and the light shine and be able to stand there and say, it is Christ in me, the hope of glory? Or do we say, man, I do not match up. I don't match up. I don't even come anywhere near the measure that God uses. The measure is Christ. And He sticks a great big measuring rod up there against our little bitty actions, and they just melt away in despair. Because He's single-minded. I told you that the hope of glory is Christ, that the hope of the Father has always been the Lord from the very beginning, and in the very end He's going to get Christ. And hopefully there will be a few that Paul talks about going around and warning. I'm warning. This isn't no fun and games type thing. I'm warning everybody. Every man. I'm warning every man in all wisdom. I'm not holding back and saying, well, they can't handle that. You know. I'm warning every man in all wisdom, and I'm striving and I'm laboring for this same cause. For the same cause, he says. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, the thing that worketh in me mightily toward you. He says that thing is Christ in him. And from the very beginning to the end, that's what the Father's after. And if we would just realize that, there's nothing that we can do to please the Father. But Jesus will do everything that is necessary to please the Father. And Jesus is fully revealed when the veil is taken away. Christ is fully revealed in every jot and tittle, and we search for 3 months and some see some little bitty something and we say, I've seen the Lord. You know, and we go out and we share a few times and we say, I'm spiritual, when every jot and tittle reveals Christ and He's there plainly and fully. He's in me fully and complete. And I am to look here and see the Lord. Why don't I see Him? There's a veil. There's a veil. It's not on the Word. It's on the mind. Especially if we're not looking here, we're not going to see Him. If we're not looking in the Word of God, we're never going to see Jesus. This says we look in the glass, in the mirror. We're looking right here. This is where we look. If we don't look here, we'll never see Him. We'll look at ourselves. We'll look at somebody else. We'll listen to somebody's tape. We'll listen to somebody's radio show. We'll read somebody's book. We'll get involved with some ministry. We'll come to chapel. We'll get in all this stuff. But we spend very little time right here. And this is the only place in the Word of God can we ever see Jesus. And we behold Him. We behold Him. We are changed from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord as we search the Scriptures. We're not changed by prayer, and we're not changed by ministry, and nobody's tape, and nobody's radio show, and nobody's TV show, and nobody's book. Nothing can change you but the Word of God. Did you hear that? Nothing. We are changed from glory to glory by the Word of God. Nothing can change you but the Word of God. My goodness, I've wasted a lot of time then. I spend at least half my day doing all those things. I spend so much of my time all wrapped up. My goodness. How much do you want it to be Christ in you? How much do you want to change? How much do you want to decrease that He might increase? It's reflected in how much you search the Scriptures. It's reflected in how much you search the Scriptures. If you truly know that Christ must be revealed. Christ is in there. But Christ must be revealed. We must know Him by revelation. And that word has not been overused lately, but to some minds it may be overused. Nonetheless, it just means taking away the veil. And I tell you that most people that I know, and I can only judge by fleshly things, but since I'm a preacher, I got a little bit of license to say, most people I know, I don't think have had a revelation of Christ. Use a little bit of license here as a preacher. Now, nobody's going to die or rise or fall according to my judgment of them. So don't get upset if you think that I think you don't, you know. That's not the deal. The deal is, are you pleasing to the Father? And is the Father pleased? He's pleased with revealing His Son in you. And we're running around trying to do the things that Jesus does so that somebody will think it's Jesus. Instead of just saying, hey, I can't do it. I want to see Jesus. I'm getting in the Word, and I'm going to let Him do everything that He needs to do. I am really going to decrease, and He's going to increase. I really want to know the cross. I really want to know that I really am dead, and that it is now not I, but Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He started with it. He's going to end with it. Are we going to end up a part of it? You see, this old body over here is nothing but an old vessel. It doesn't do any, it does what the mind tells it to do. And our mind can say, well, it must be Jesus in me, so I'm going to go to church. You see, it can do that without revelation. It can do that without seeing the Lord. But it can't do that consistently. It can't pray consistently. It can't, you know, we get in a crisis and it fails, you know. It does real good when we walk in and, you know, prepared, but when we're caught off guard, Jesus doesn't come forth and we fail, you see. It can copy everything. That old carnal mind can copy the works, everything. Two shall be grinding, one shall be taken. Why, wait a minute, I was supposed to go, I was grinding too. I was grinding. Wasn't that it? Well, we came here and ground every day. It says, muzzle not the ox that treads out the grain. Well, I was here grinding just like everybody else. How come I didn't get to go? Lord, didn't I do many wonderful... Lord. He's going to say, I don't know you. I know the Son. I definitely know the Son. And I don't know you. And you don't know Him. He must be revealed. We must search the Scriptures, and in the Scriptures we see Jesus, and we understand that Jesus that we see in the Scriptures is in me. We don't just see a Jesus. We see the Jesus that is the Son of God, and understanding, having the veil removed and seeing Him not as He does, but as He is, we understand, I'm a Son of God. Jesus is in me. And you don't go around trying to do the best you can, man. You understand. I have no other life. I'm constrained to do what I do. I do this and I do that and I do all these things because Christ is the life, and I don't have any choice in the matter because I'm dead. And you live by, you reckon on that daily. You reckon on that death daily. It's Christ being in you at new birth does not necessarily mean it is going to be Christ out of you. That's why our title is Christ in you, Christ out of you. I can't really talk too much to you tonight really about Christ in you, because everybody here will say amen, amen, hallelujah. Everybody here can say that. Can't we? We can all say, amen, it's Christ in me. I can't talk about that too much. I have to talk about Christ out of you. Because now some of us go, oh, well, wait a minute. You know, we start, if it's Christ in you, and it's Christ revealed in you, and if it's Christ in you in the Spirit when you were born again, and it's Christ revealed in you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, then it will be Christ out of you. You see that? It's, Christ in you won't just jump over here and bring Christ out of that old body. It's a servant to the mind. And if that mind is full of Christ, Christ is coming out. And you don't have to try. You don't have to promote it. You don't have to push it. You don't have to pump up the flesh. You don't have to do nothing. If it's Christ in the mind and Christ in the spirit, that old body has no choice. See if you can make your body get up without you telling it to. See if it'll stand up without you telling it to. See if that arm will reach over there and grab something off the chair without you telling it to do that. It won't do it. It does exactly what the mind says. A mind full of the Word, a mind full of the Lord, a mind full of Christ, Christ revealed, will bring forth Christ out of you. It just, you don't have to argue with it. You don't have to fight with it. It's just going to be Christ. It is Christ in you. It is. It is. But is it Christ out of you? Is it Christ out of you? And, you know, like I say, I believe that it is Christ in every one of us here. I know that. If you're truly born again, that it's bound to be. But is it Christ whom we manifest? Is it the Lord whom we manifest? Whom we preach, warning every man. He didn't have to practice that. It was Christ in him, the hope of glory, and Christ out of him, the same hope that was in him, came out of him. It's got to be, if it's Christ in you, if it's Christ in you and Christ revealed in you, then it should be Christ out of you. There's just no two ways about it. You know, what's your first response when you meet a need? Christ, right? As soon as a need is presented to you, it's Christ. Some people, you know, and I think, well, they're ready to go out and start meeting a bunch of needs for other people. I think good. I think we've got some need right here in this fellowship that needs to be met, that some people are running from, ready to meet other needs so they won't have to meet the need we got right here. And I don't think God's going to bless us meeting need out there if we don't meet it in the house of God first. I just don't think He will. I think it'll be a vain thing that we try to do. If it's not Christ, it's not Christ. There's just no two ways about it. You know, it can be Christ in you and you out of you. That's right. It can be that way. It can be Christ in you, but you out of you. And that need is presented to you and you're not ready for it. Yeah, but wait a minute. I don't have it. Is it Christ? This body, this fellowship, needs Christ in you. I need Christ in you. You need Christ in me. You don't need me, but you need Christ in me. It's still Christ, and it's got to be Christ in a vessel to make up a body. It takes life in this member, in this finger, to make it worthwhile. But it is the life, not the finger. The finger just obeys the life within it. So the finger is necessary. I'm not saying it's not. You and I are necessary, but it must be Christ in you. And this fellowship needs more than ever, if it could ever be, Christ in you. Not just I need Christ in you, or you need Christ in me, but you need Christ in those sitting beside you. If it's Christ in you, then let Him out. If it is Christ in you, if I took a poll right now raising hands, I think we'd all raise our hands and say it's Christ in us. If it's Christ in you, then let's let Him out. For the Lord's sake, for the manifestation of Christ, your body of believers, and all the other reasons there are, I could start naming many thousands of reasons why
But the main reason is the Father's only pleased with Christ. If it's Christ in us, let's not hide him under a bushel. Let him out. Thank God. Let's bow our heads.